College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown.
We love the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and the family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lanny Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
Hello and welcome. I am your host, JP Ajapraz from the Two Man Power Trip. Of course, joining me, the star of the show, the former WWE and ECW World Tag Team Champion, one of the greatest minds and bookers ever in the history of the business, the Games Master, the Taskmaster, the devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing excellent. How are you, my man?
Doing good. What do you think about all these rumors of Raw and their TV program? Because SmackDown has signed up for USA. They're off of Fox for starting in 2024 for more than a few years. I think it's a five-year deal. NXT is on the CW. What do you think about Raw? Where is Raw going to end up?
I have no idea, but it's going to cost some people a lot of money, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Big time. Probably billions, right? It's going to be in the billions.
Yeah.
Now, I saw a rumor where Warner Brothers Discovery is actually in the lead right now for Raw, which is interesting because they have AEW, which is coming to an end soon.
Right.
So what do you think about that? They're going to get WWF programming on Warner Brothers and TNT and TBS?
I think so.
Really? You think they would do that and just get rid of AEW, or would AEW also be on the program or on the network?
I'm not sure about that. I've been thinking about that for a long time. I mean, That's a strange deal.
Would WWE even allow that? Or, you know what I mean? Like, they don't seem to play well with others. Like, if another wrestling company was on their same network as them, I feel like they wouldn't be in favor of it.
I don't think they'd be in favor with it, but how long does their contract last?
Usually 5 years.
So how many have they got? 1 year left?
I believe so, or it's winding down, yeah.
Yeah.
Just fascinating that it could possibly either take the place of AEW and Warner Brothers, or that AEW may still be on the channel, even though WWE is on. That would be wacky, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And now Fox, which kind of ripped SmackDown and said, oh, it didn't reach the potential of what they wanted because they thought the wrestling fans didn't have the money that they needed to spend on the advertising that they were advertising on the programs, basically kind of a knock on wrestling fans. But now all of a sudden, they want Raw, and they're back in the mix. And the rumor is because of CM Punk.
Yeah, I see that. Don't you?
Absolutely. I also think Fox ripped it for leverage, too. You know what I mean? No, so they could pay less for Raw.
I don't think that's going to happen unless the sky falls.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
When you look at it, just wherever it ends up, it's going to be getting in the billions. I feel like USA is going to get it since USA already has SmackDown. USA with Peacock, you know what I mean? The NBC affiliates, I mean, they're already a part of that network. I feel like they're not going to let Raw go away if they have their pay-per-views, PLEs on Peacock, and they have WWE SmackDown coming to them. So I feel like they're not going to let Raw get away either.
No, I don't think so because of the ratings that they're doing.
Which have been up, surprisingly.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think about Punk and his influence and Punk and just him in general as far as being a draw for them and him potentially being a reason why they might be getting TV rights they may have not gotten before?
I think there's a very good chance that's the reason why they're even in the mix. What do you think?
That's the rumor, and I'm buying it. I'm believing it because he's, you know, obviously he's been drawing for them and draws TV ratings. I mean, that's a fact. If you look at his quarter hour ratings, they're way higher than the rest of the show. So obviously with him comes ratings.
Yeah. And I think they started that angle already, knowing what they're going to do. And it's going to be unusual, to say the very least.
Do you like the fact that Punk isn't having like matches yet? Do you like kind of limiting the physicality, if you will, like limiting the matches on TV and making you know, pay for the big matches? Like he's going to be in the Royal Rumble. He's not really wrestling before that unless you go to the house shows.
Yeah, I actually like it a lot. I mean, didn't they put that Saturday Night Show on specifically for Punk?
Yes.
Well, I think that should tell you something.
Oh, yeah. I love, though, right now with him, you got to go to the house shows. He's wrestling Dominic Mysterio on a bunch of the house shows coming up, MSG and Kia Forum, you know, a bunch of the big house show spots. But you won't see him wrestle, I don't think, until the Royal Rumble. AEW did the exact opposite. He was wrestling guys like Lee Moriarty and, you know, guys you've never heard of in a million years on TV. It's like, what the hell? Like, they kind of made it seem less important. Triple H is booking to make it seem very important. You got to watch the Rumble if you want to see Punk wrestle.
Yeah, yeah. I think they did a good job, you know. Now, let me ask you something.
Yes.
Is Daniel Bryan now the booker?
He says not, that he's not the booker of AEW, but I guess he's part of creative, or he throws his ideas in, but Tony is still the booker.
Okay.
And apparently he has some other backstage power, I guess, he wields, which is interesting. I don't know if it's necessarily a good thing sometimes when these wrestlers get power in the back.
Yeah, but for them to do what they're doing, create a show for Punk and giving them all the goods, as you and I both know, and I think all the wrestling fans know, so I think that's part of the reason why he's been such an intricate part. I think they're going to go with Punk no matter what right now.
Oh, yeah. Huge loss for AEW. Big win for WWE. Do you think that it's Punk versus Rollins at WrestleMania on one of the nights? Do you think that'll be one of the main events?
Free TV? No.
No, WrestleMania, as far as one of the main events of WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah, he'll be one of the main events, but I don't think he'll wrestle Roman.
What about Seth Rollins?
Well, I think he'll go to Seth.
I think so, too. They teased it already on Raw, which was good. You know, the confrontation, them kind of bad-mouthing each other back and forth. So they are teasing it, but I like that they're not giving it away right away either. I mean, they're making you want it.
Right, right. I think it was done very smartly. I think they took in consideration why TNT went after WWE. I think they want him so bad that they're ready to drop Tony because they built that show for Punk.
Yep.
And I always wonder what kind of heat they got from, you know, letting Punk go.
I would imagine that they were not happy because obviously the ratings did dip. That show kind of fell off the map as far as ratings on that show without Punk. AEW's been in a free fall creatively ever since. I mean, man, this is the worst they've been for sure. And the ratings are really kind of showing that as well. So to me, the loss of Punk is just huge. And it could be even bigger, like you said, if they lose Warner Brothers.
Yeah, yeah. And let me ask you something. Have you ever seen anybody take a drop like this so quickly?
Tough to say. Not that I can remember, no. How about you?
No, I can't remember. I mean, they were the darlings of the internet group. They were the darlings of Let's See What They Got. And they gave them a lot of room to make mistakes.
Yep, and now I think it's catching up to them. Now everybody's kind of, you know, the rose is off the petal, if you will. The honeymoon period is over with the fans, for sure.
Yeah. And I also think one of the things that hurt them bad, you know, was win-win or lose-lose. When they went to England, went to London, the people thought for sure when they came back to the States, their ratings were going to explode.
Yep.
It didn't happen.
Not at all. I actually did the opposite, which is crazy. It actually went down. So that doesn't show you anything. You know what I mean? That crowd over there, they were just looking for a good time, I guess.
And I also think that them taking that fall was so drastic that the people in the main offices over in WCW, but for AEW was, they didn't expect this to happen at all.
Yep. It's just crazy to see, you know, the fall of AEW here. You need them around, though, because WWE definitely needs the competition. We saw how bad WWE was for about two decades without competition.
Yeah, but now we have Hunter there, which I think is turned it around completely.
He's done a marvelous job as the booker, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to point something out. When he just didn't stop wrestling and just went to booking, they exploded.
Yeah.
You know how you told me, we talked about a booker or just wrestling and trying to book.
Yep.
It didn't turn out the way they thought it was going to turn out. And I also think that their programming, their talents right now has been the best they've ever had, including the Attitude Era. Now, the Attitude Era was fabulous. But this roster they have right now, I think is the best they've ever had.
High praise right there. Wow. You got Punk, Orton, obviously Roman is the king of the castle, Cody Rhodes, Drew McIntyre, The Usos, Solo, LA Knight, did I say Drew McIntyre? Seth Rollins, Logan Paul, a lot of main event guys, Rey Mysterio, ton of main event talent.
Right. And it's funny that we said a few weeks ago about a guy quitting and then just becoming a booker, like I told you Dusty did.
Yep.
And Eddie Graham did. And I told you about when Eddie Graham retired, that made the territory explode.
Focus on the booking, right? Instead of being a wrestler and a booker.
Yeah. He started booking Eddie. He was working hard for on the booking end. And also, when he had made Jack Briscoe before he hung him up. And then after that, after Jack got the belt, look who he else had. He made Dusty the world champion when that meant something.
Right.
So it's really interesting.
For sure. Now let's get to the topic at hand. WCW Starrcade 1991 Battle Bowl, the Lethal Lottery, which is, of course, the tagline for the show. It was on December 29th, 1991 at the Norfolk Scope in Norfolk, Virginia. The attendance just around 9,000. So good house. Pay-per-view buys 155K, which kind of par for the course in that era and about that era. Interesting to note here, this is the first Starrcade under the WCW banner, technically speaking. And obviously, it was WCW really since Turner bought it in 88, but the first really Starrcade under the WCW banner was this year. And that's actually the first Starrcade without the Nature Boy Ric Flair, who went and left to the WWF. Was that a huge blow or what, not having Flair?
I'm sure. I mean, that's one of Herd's biggest mistakes, right?
Has to be.
Yeah.
How the heck did you let that happen, right? And he's the champion, and you let him leave with the belt.
Because he owned the belt.
But I'm saying from Herd's perspective, I mean, that's a disaster.
That's what I'm saying. He didn't know what he was doing. And I've heard people lately making excuses for it. It killed them for Rick to go up there as a real world champion.
And man, talk about giving the other company a boost, but shooting yourself in the foot. You lose the greatest guy on the roster. I mean, by far the best guy on your roster. He leaves with the belt. He shows up on TV with your belt. I mean, just not good all the way around.
Yeah. Yeah. It really hurt.
It's one thing to lose a guy who's basically like the god of wrestling, but then lose him while he's champion and he's wearing your belt on the other pro. I mean, just a disaster. Oh,
awful. Yeah. Yeah. Horrible.
Now, where are you in 1991? Because you leave in August of 91 as far as WCW is concerned, but you end up right in Philly, and then you end up in Florida for a little bit with Slinker, and then you end up in FMW in Japan, right?
Yeah, Slinker didn't really – he only ran like Tampa and then three other shows a week. But his main thing where he made the money was – going to the islands. He went to Jamaica, and he had a deal with Jamaica. We were going every 2 weeks. They were paying the guys unbelievable money at the time, and the territory was healthy. It really was.
When you doing like those tours and those trips, is Slinker the booker, or is Kern the booker? Who's like the booker on those tours, or are you?
Well, Slinker was the booker, but he would ask me what he want, what he thought. But it really, really hurt them because he was doing this. He did a hell of a job. He did this without anybody with any qualifications, not knocking on, but he had never booked anywhere else.
Right.
Yeah.
So as far as Battle Bowl, the Lethal Lottery here, it's interesting, like, again, going away from your traditional match as far as Starrcade is concerned, it's going to be basically a Battle Bowl, a.k.a. Battle Royal at the end, and before, they're going to have a Lethal Lottery of tag team qualifying matches with 40 wrestlers paired randomly through chosen tag teams, and they're going to compete in qualifying matches. The winning team advances to the 20-man double elimination Battle Bowl, Battle Royal to determine the winner. So it's a little confusing, a little crazy, but it's one of those things where I guess trying something, right? I mean, trying to do something different.
Yeah, and that's what they did. And it turned out for them to be the best thing they could have done. I look back now, is maybe Tony should do something like that. I think his ratings would go up.
He kind of did, if I remember correctly, he kind of did try to copy this idea a little bit when he was, and then I think Adam Cole and MJF started teaming together, something like a Battle Bowl, not Battle Bowl, but like a Lethal Lottery type deal. So he tried to copy it a little bit, but obviously not entirely.
Yeah, but that was like when we lost Dusty and his whole crew. Now look at what's happened. They lost another Rhodes, they lost Dustin, they got the Bloodline over like crazy, and then Roman exploded, and all these other young guys that most people didn't think they were going to get over, got over hugely. We've mentioned this before.
Yep.
Sammy really, really put his foot to the pedal. And they drew money everywhere. I go back to the night he wrestled Roman in Montreal.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yep.
They got that in their back pocket, too. That could be a real turnaround.
So as far as Battle Bowl Lethal Lottery, just want to mention, before Starrcade, Sting started a feud with Rick Rude. He also started a feud with Lex Luger. Luger won the WCW Championship and the vacated United States Championship, all kind of during and around this feud. Sting won a tournament to become the new WCW United States Heavyweight Champion on August 25th. And then he put, well, obviously, if you're the United States Champion, it puts you in contention for the WCW World Heavyweight Championship. Luger basically sees Sting as a threat. He hires two hired guns to take out Sting, which, of course, are Abdul the Butcher and Cactus Jack. So on October 27th, Halloween Havoc, Rick Rude makes his return. He makes Sting a target, and then at Clash of the Champions number 17, Luger ambushes Sting, injures his knee, which allows Rick Rude to win the United States Championship. That's just some background. Sting basically has two feuds going on. He's feuding with Luger. He's feuding with Rude. Rude's the U.S. champion now, but now Luger brings in Abdul the Butcher and Cactus Jack to feud with Sting. I love the kind of unearthing of Luger with like the mystery boxes, and he comes out of this kind of tent and attacks Sting. It's just maybe a little hokey, but I kind of like the way it was set up, and he's kind of like the mastermind villain bringing in these two psychopaths to deal with Sting.
I had been gone, so I was amazed at how Luger stepped up to the plate and had a magnificent run. And then you had the greatest babyface of that era, Barry Windham. I mean, everything fell into place for them, reversely to what happened to AEW for WWE. I mean, WWE, the ratings had been down. Hunter came in, he did an incredible job. The booking took off. Hunter, Rude, Barry, and the host, the others, weren't the Road Warriors there too at the time?
Not here in 91. They're going to be in WWF in 91. But here in 91, so basically Vader, Luger, Sting, Ricky Steamboat, Rick Rude, those are like the top guys. Pretty good. Even though they lost Flair, still some pretty good top guys in yeah. As far as Starrcade is concerned.
Yeah, and they did a hell of a job. I mean, they came and they delivered.
So as far as Lethal Lottery, it's going to be random teams are going to be selected and put together. They're going to go through the ball. They're going to show the backstage area. And then you're going to find out who your tag partner is, or the match really is going to be. And it's just going to be a random pairing. So it's going to be odd teams. It's really kind of a wacky thing. You know, we talked about Battle Bowl and Lethal Lottery before on the show because we've covered a few different times when WCW had it. But the random pairing here, we'll talk about the first match. Marcus Alexander Bagwell and Jimmy Jam Garvin versus Michael P.S. Hayes and Tracy Smothers. Just kind of the way it happens, the way the balls shake, that's just the luck of it. So Bagwell and Jimmy Garvin defeated Michael Hayes and Tracy Smothers in 12 minutes, 45 seconds. Nothing too great here. Nothing really to write home about. But it's one of those things is, as a booker, when you're putting this thing together, are you just trying to make it like the weirdest combinations ever? Are you trying to make it make sense?
I would think, because I wasn't there at the time, I think they did a hell of a job there bringing all those guys in, and it clicked. It was something completely different.
I want to mention also Magnum TA is the commissioner, if you will, the Battle Bowl commissioner. So he's kind of overseeing this thing. Obviously, Bischoff and Misty Hyatt, who are like the second string announcers, if you will, they're also on hand and on the proceedings to show you who these random pairings are and these random team-ups are going to be. The next team is pretty good. Stunning Steve Austin and Rick Rude defeat Van Hammer and Big Josh in 12 minutes and 55 seconds. Another long tag match here. Just a random pairing, but Austin and Rude, pretty awesome pairing, and just shows you some pretty good talent WCW had in 1990.
Yeah, absolutely.
Back when he was Stunning Steve, did you see anything in him? Like, what did you see?
Oh, yeah. I saw a lot in him. I don't know why he was let go. That was stunning to me, him going, you know. He had so much potential.
Do you think that he could have feuded with Hogan in 95? Because I know that was his big point of contention. Then he got hurt and then he got released. Could he have feuded with Hogan? Or is that just some, maybe Hogan beats him on a, you know, Saturday night or something?
No. Hogan really saw how he got over and he wanted to work with him because he knew how hot Ryan was.
So the Austin's point of contention, though, in 95 was that Hogan didn't want to work with him in 95, though.
That was before the angle, before he got over that angle.
Right. Yep.
Once he got over that angle, that's all Hogan wanted.
So basically, Hogan, if you can get over, Hogan will work with you. If you can't get over, he's not going to waste his time.
Right.
Kind of a good business sense, I guess, in a way.
Oh, without doubt. I mean, you know, Hogan got a percentage of the pay-per-view. The higher the pay-per-view was, the more money Hogan got.
Can't beat that deal, for sure. Oh. And we've talked about that in the past, where he lost the title in 97 to Luger, and people were like, oh, it must have been this, it must have been that. And you kind of said, and I, you know, obviously I totally agree, well, he gets part of the pay-per-view, so the rematch was for the title, and he wins the title back. So it makes people want to order the pay-per-view because he gets a kickback from it. So, I mean, pretty smart business-wise. You know, lose on Nitro, get the title back to pay-per-view, get people's interest in the pay-per-view.
Exactly, and there would have been a huge house. Ryan was over. I mean, he got over quicker than anybody I ever saw. The only one I can compare it to would be maybe Brian Pillman. Bill Goldberg and Brian Pillman got over quicker than anybody I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. Did you see Goldberg recently? He was at the Falcons game.
No, I didn't.
He speared, you know, it was on the field, but he pretended like it was a fan, and he speared the quote-unquote a fan, and then the mascot and him celebrated.
I think Bill can still draw money.
I agree.
If I was them, I mean, I wouldn't hesitate to call Bill, you know. They have this thing there that, you know, they talk about the older guys from WWE, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Bill would probably be over bigger than any of their guys right now if he came in and was treated right.
Yes. Love Goldberg. Yep.
Yeah.
Next up, another random pairing, Dustin Rhodes and Richard Morton defeated Larry Zbyszko and El Gigante in 6 minutes to advance to the Battle Royal. Nothing really to write home about here for that one either, except for, did you ever see anything in El Gigante? Did you, like,
no,
basketball no. player? Did you ever see anything? 7'7"?
No. The reason why, he was on a personal contract with Turner. He had brought him up for the basketball team, and he didn't make it. You know what I mean?
Yep. With the Atlanta Hawks, yep.
Yeah, so.
What about Richard Morton? Ricky Morton is a heel. I mean, do you hate that gimmick?
No, because he can work. But at that time, there was no better babyface than Ricky Morton in the business.
Bill Kazmaier and Jushin Thunder Liger, what a pairing that is, defeated Diamond Dallas Page and Mike Graham in 13 minutes. Nothing great, nothing to really write home about the match here, but what did you think of Jushin Thunder Liger?
Well, I brought him in for the first match for Nitro. That's how much I thought about him.
What an impressive athlete, right? He got to be one of the greatest of all time, right? As far as wrestling is concerned?
Absolutely.
WWE seemed to be ahead of the curve on some of the Japanese guys. I mean, obviously, Muda, you know, sticks out. I mean, but it just feels like you guys knew your talent. Yep, Chono, a bunch of guys.
I told you, I was personally invited to go over when they cut the deal.
Yep.
With New Japan, they asked me to come. And one of the things that they appreciated was I kept their guys good. I can't remember beating any of the guys they had pushed in Japan, unless it was like Scott Norton against Chono. That's the only one I can think of, and that might not have even happened. But they were working a program in Japan.
What'd you think about Bill Kazmaier? Obviously, the strong man, if you will, the weightlifting champion, world's strongest man. He's a power lifter. What'd you think about him?
I think he was not handled the right way. He was an impressive athlete. They should have been able to do more with him than they did.
Do you like Mike Graham sneaking onto this pay-per-view?
Yeah, because they knew Mike had worked with Muta quite a bit in Florida, and they used Mike to get Muta over.
So they figured with Liger, he can do the same thing?
Yeah, yeah.
So the next matchup, Lex Luger and Arn Anderson with Harley Race defeated Terrence Taylor and the Z-Man in about 10 minutes and 30 seconds. This was actually a pretty good match, probably the match of the night so far. Obviously, two heels just randomly being put together, Luger and Arn, but that's a damn good team. Yes. Terrence Taylor, obviously the heel version of doing the tailor-made man gimmick, and then Z-Man, Tom Zenk. So good team with Luger and Arn, randomly, of course, randomly put together.
It was Terry's a very good worker, very good worker. He should have done more in the business, I believe. Terry had a lot of distractors. He had a problem of keeping his mouth shut and saying the wrong thing at the wrong time.
Interesting. Next up, Todd Champion and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat defeated Cactus Jack and Buddy Lee Parker in 7 minutes and 45 seconds to advance later on in the evening. Do you remember Todd Champion? Did you see anything him? He looked like a million bucks.
I knew Todd Champion from Florida. Him and his brother, he had a tag team partner in Florida that were very, very good, him and his brother. And it was just one of those things that when he got there, it was so stacked. He got lost in the shuffle.
Next up is Sting and Abdullah the Butcher. Talking about just a random pairing of being put together. Sting and Abdullah the Butcher defeated Brian Pillman and Bobby Eaton in 6 minutes. Another really, really good match. Obviously, the angle here is that Abdullah the Butcher hates Sting and was trying to take him out and didn't care about winning. You know, because he's hired by Luger to take out Sting, but they get the win anyway because Pillman isn't going to play along. He's kind of being the good baby face there. But good match as Sting and Abdullah defeated Pillman and Eaton. Are you a big Abby fan here in 1991?
Yeah. See these fingers? They're from yes. Abdullah.
Whoa, what did you
say? I worked a lot with Abdullah all over the country, all over the world. And he knew how to get heat. He drew money, and the thing about him being over so well was he did something smart. He knew he couldn't stay in a territory too big, too long. He was an attraction like Andre. He could come in and maybe stay 2 months at the most, but he was very, very good.
The finish of this match saw Cactus Jack trying to take out Sting, trying to cheat and help Abdul the Butcher, but it goes for naught as he, by accident, hits Abby, and Sting ends up getting the victory for the team. But basically, Cactus was trying to cost them, and Sting ends up pinning Eaton with the crossbody. And then Abdul the Butcher ends up fighting with Cactus Jack post-match. So Cactus and Abdul are not on the same page here.
No. No, but that was to further Sting's push.
Yep. And the next matchup, Big Van Vader and Mr. Hughes defeated Rick Steiner and the Night Stalker in 5 minutes. Okay, match. Nothing crazy, nothing right home about here. But Night Stalker, of course, everyone knows is Brian Clark, a.k.a. Adam Bomb. Interesting to note, he replaced the Diamond Stud Scott Hall, who would be leaving the company pretty soon in this tournament here. Big Van Vader, obviously, I mean, you saw star out of him probably right away here in 91.
Yeah. I mean, he gave believability like Gunther does to the WWE. We talked about talent that they have. Boy, that Gunther, we never talk about him, but boy, that kid's got something.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We were talking about all those main event guys. We named like 10 or 11 guys, and we ended up saying Sami Zayn, right? We forget about Gunther. There's another guy who could be a main eventer for them. He's awesome.
He's absolutely terrific. He brings that shade of, is it real or is it not? He's fabulous. Like we said, we mentioned everybody else but him. Not just him. We didn't mention Dominic Mysterio. We didn't mention a lot of people, but they got a great roster right now from top to bottom.
It's crazy to think how much talent they have right now. It seemed like for a while they were in desperate need of star power and good talent, and now they have a whole slew of them. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Crazy. I mean, a few years ago, you didn't have to turn on the TV until maybe 8:45 mark, huh?
Right, yeah. You weren't going to miss anything, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Next up, we have Scotty Steiner and Firebreaker Chip defeating Arachnaman and Johnny B. Bad in 11 minutes to advance to the next round, or really advance to the Battle Bowl itself. Just kind of a weird gimmick, to be honest, this Arachnaman. You know what I mean? Like, I know it's Brad Armstrong, but he's under a weird hood and he's supposed to look like a spider. Is that just trying to be more like WWE and try to be like kid friendly and stuff with this gimmick?
Yeah, I think they're trying to give Brad, I wasn't there, so I'm just taking a shot in the dark. They gave Brad another chance because three greatest workers that ever got over ever because of his, if he could have had his father's interviews, he would have got over like $1 million.
It's funny when you look at it, it's like, okay, Road Dogg got his dad's talking ability. Yeah. Brad got the working ability. You know what I mean? It's just like nobody got the complete package. Bob was the complete package.
Yeah. Bob was a huge, huge star in Atlanta. He was something else. I mean, he drew money from the time he got into the wrestling business.
Is it also true that the best looking girls were in Pensacola, and that's why the Armstrongs and the Fullers love that area so much? Is that true?
If it's not, it's to be a toss-up between them and the main office in Florida, Tampa.
Well, I can see that. Oh, yeah. Next up, Ron Simmons and Thomas Rich. Tommy Rich, of course, is a heel, defeating Steve Armstrong, speaking of one of the Armstrongs, and PN News in 12 minutes to advance to the Battle Bowl in the final of the tag team matches that will lead into the Battle Bowl. Of course, the final of the Lethal Lottery tag matches. What do you think about PN News, the rapping gimmick? Do you remember that gimmick?
Yeah, I sure do. He drew a lot of money in Germany.
Yeah, a ton.
After he left us, he went to Germany, and I think he actually moved to Germany. And he drew, like we both just said, he drew a ton of money.
To me, I feel like kind of underrated, if you will, maybe overlooked just because of that gimmick was so weird with the rapping and the yo, baby, yo, baby, yo. He's actually pretty good.
Yeah, the gimmick was great for him. The gimmick was great for him. And, you know, later on they had Brad do that gimmick where he was, he was like a rapper too, the dreads and everything else. But Brad was an incredible worker. Incredible.
So then we have after obviously all the guys are in the Battle Bowl after the Lethal Lottery, we have 20 guys. So all 20 wrestlers start in the first ring. Then, because it's two rings for the show. Then the elimination comes when you go from the first ring, thrown over the top and into the second ring or onto the floor. And then basically you get eliminated. So elimination from the second ring occurs when the wrestler is thrown from the top to the floor. This continues until one wrestler remained in the first ring and one in the second ring. So you got to get everybody out of both rings. Then once that occurs, the remaining wrestler elimination occurs when one wrestler obviously is thrown over the top to the floor. So the remaining wrestler will be the winner. Hopefully that's not confusing, but basically Battle Royal rules, two rings. Once both rings are empty, the two guys face off, and then there's got to be a winner. The guys in it.
What?
Were you confused at all by this kind of little wrinkle in the Battle Royal?
Here's the thing. I could have been, but it turned out that everything they did touched the gold. I mean, they had the guys who work hard. They had a hell of an angle for everybody in the show. They did a masterful job. You had the Armstrongs in it. You had Tommy Rich in it. You had Ron Simmons in it. Vader, Sting. You had Luger in it. It just really got over. And I think it helped WCW kind of get off the ground.
So then, as far as the match itself, the 20 guys, Bagwell, Garvin, Austin, Rude, Rhodes, Morton, Kaz Meyer, Jushin Thunder Liger, Lex Luger, Arn Anderson, Ricky Steamboat, Todd Champion, Sting, Abdul the Butcher, Big Van Vader, Mr. Hughes, Scott Steiner, Firebreaker, Chip, Ron Simmons, and Thomas Rich. Those are the 20 guys. The final four in the first ring were Sting, Rude, Lex Luger, and Vader. Sting and Rude basically exchange punches, and they eliminate each other from that first ring. Then Vader kind of dominates Luger with the big splash and the body avalanche, but then Luger fights back and eliminates Vader with the clothesline to become the last remaining wrestler in that first ring. The wrestlers right. remaining in the second ring obviously continue to fight until you get down to the final four. The final four in this ring were Sting, Rude, Ricky Steamboat, and Steve Austin. Sting then attacks the Rick Rudester, and Rude and Steamboat basically end up eliminating each other. Sting then eliminates Austin. He's the final member in that ring, which means the two guys from the two remaining guys would be Luger and Sting. Whoever knocks the other over the top rope and out is the winner. Sting, of course, eliminates Lex Luger with the clothesline, and he wins Battle Bowl. The final match there went about 25 minutes. What do you think here? Predictable Sting gets the win because Luger's the world champion and the winner of this does get the title shot. Was it too predictable to have Sting win, or is that good? You got to have the feel-good story here.
No, I think the way they got Vader over, and didn't he go over the top rope in a really magnificent way to get him out of the ring?
Yeah, Luger nails him with a nice clothesline. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So I think it really, really got Sting over too, because he'd been selling and selling against two major heels at the same time.
I do like Sting winning. I think that was good, maybe predictable, but good, because obviously him and Luger are the feud, and that's kind of what it's being built up to. Sting gets awarded the title match. He'll fight Luger at the next pay-per-view, which ends up being Super Brawl number 2. And of course, Sting ends up winning that match. He wins a world title. Luger then, of course, leaves WCW, doesn't head to WWF directly. He heads first to the World Bodybuilding Federation, then heads to the WWF. Sting would obviously continue his feud with Ravishing Rick Rude and the Dangerous Alliance. Sting, of course, would fight the Dangerous Alliance in a War Games match that year at WrestleWar. Sting then, of course, would feud with Big Van Vader, who was then managed by Harley Race, and they would feud over the title as well. So kind of building blocks here leading into a lot of things. They still do have a lot of good top talent. What'd you kind of think overall of the show? I felt like two strong matches as far as two strong Lethal Lottery tag matches, Luger and Arn versus Terrence Taylor and the Z-Man. And also I like Sting and Abby versus Pillman and Eaton. And then of course I like the Battle Bowl, Battle Royal at the end as well. What did you think of the show?
I thought the show was excellent, and I think they had guys really worked hard, and like I said, I think it really got every story told exactly the right way, and then they got what they needed, Sting and Vader. I mean, I thought it was tremendous.
Sting and Luger there at the end, yep, yep.
Yeah.
And as far as Sting and Luger were concerned, obviously they were the two stalwarts of the WCW team after Luger leaves. I mean, after Flair leaves. So they were kind of the anointed ones, and they were kind of thrust into the main event scene. Luger leaving not too long after that, a little shocking, especially headed to the World Bodybuilding Federation, right? I mean, that was kind of shocking.
Yeah. I never got a chance to ask Luger about what happened, why he left. I mean, he had been homegrown for WCW, and I'm not sure what happened, because like I said, he was homegrown WCW, and he did a magnificent job.
All right, let's hit the plugs. You follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check out the website, tmptempire.com. Kevin, what do you got going on?
Well, I'm going to Philly in the middle of February. And then I'm also going to Salt Lake City in February. And in January, I'll be going to Rhode Island. And I'll be going to Tennessee also. So I'm going to be busy the next months.
Damn, you are going to be very busy. And you're going all over this this great United States here.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. And like I said, all our fans, come up and say hello to me, because we're gaining steam. A lot of people have talked to me about it.
And definitely check out Old School. Get it on Amazon. Great book by L.A. Taylor, right?
Right. You can get it on Amazon. It's really a very, very good book. It talks about the behind the scenes of wrestling and how it happened in the late 40s, right up to the first book, I think, ends when there's a death that changed the wrestling business forever.
Good stuff. Very intriguing stuff, for sure. But thank you, everybody, for tuning in this week. We'll see you right back here next week. Have a good one, folks.
Some of the veterans of battle royals, and I say, what is your strategy? What do you think about? And it basically is hit anything and everything that moves.
Well, Kazmaier went over the top, but he's got to go over the top to the second ring to be for this thing to progress. The wrestlers have got to throw their opponents from the over the top rope from the first ring, which you see right now, into the empty ring, which sits right beside it.
Also, let us bring up this point. There's one man remaining. Here you see ring two. One man will remain in ring one. One man in ring two. They'll go at it, and it won't be a pinning situation there. They will have to dump either one of the other men over the top rope to win.
Back in ring one, the final two men in ring one, Big Van Vader and the world's heavyweight champion Lex Luger. Kazmaier's almost got Abdullah out of it. Big Van Vader using his power and over 100-pound weight advantage on Luger very successfully.
Well, we've had another elimination, I believe, Chip the Firebreaker. There you go.
Luger catches Vader coming in. And Luger with a clothesline. Luger's power.
The winner and ring number one, Luger.
The man who prevails of these four is really going to have his work cut out for him against Luger.
Oh! Rude got his partner. Steamboat wreck in the eyes. Got wrecked. He held on, trying to pull his way back up, and he does. But he's got Rude. And Rude pulls Steamboat out. Uh-oh, now. Wait a minute. Rude back in. Rude with a Rude Awakening. Now, come on. It has been a long night for both these men. They're both in magnificent condition. Sting already held on. Luger thinks he hasn't won, but Sting held on. Can he reach down? Sting with right hands. Upstairs, a kick to the gut. Another right hand. The Stinger is on fire here. Big right hand, and the world's champion is reeling. The Stinger becoming offensively dominant. This crowd is going crazy.
The moment is now. He's got to do it right now.
Sting with a clothesline. Luger, oh, great balance. He held on. Sting, he got him over, and Sting won it. Sting defeats Luger to win Battle Bowl.
This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You can check us out on Facebook. You can subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother. College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown.
We loved the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and the family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good drop.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.